Measure Up Podcast, Episode 2, How to Do Simple and Actionable Customer Surveys. G'day and welcome everyone. I'm Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. I'm passionate about making performance measurement easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. So in this episode about how to do simple and actionable customer surveys, our feature article is 5 steps to simple and actionable customer surveys. We'll help Measure Up subscriber Diane answer her question about how to measure customer satisfaction without using surveys. And we'll wrap up with a quick tip for the essential 4 questions to include on the most concise customer questionnaire you'll probably ever see. Well, that survey is actually the customer survey I developed to use at my Performance Measure Blueprint workshop. It fits on a very small sheet of paper, A5, in fact, and takes just a few moments for people to fill out, and it gives me the data that feeds 2 of my most important business KPIs, as well as helping me prioritize ideas and strategies to keep improving the workshop experience for my customers. And speaking of the Performance Measure Blueprint workshop, I'm heading off this weekend to the US to run it for the first time in San Francisco and also in Boston. And I'm really excited because we virtually sold out both workshops. I think we only have 1 or 2 seats left at each of them at this point. My husband's coming with me and we'll have a few days to relax and enjoy gorgeous San Francisco. No doubt he's going to go out and do a bit of cycling because he's obsessed with cycling. And I am planning to keep up my running training as well. And that's partly because there's a lovely little cupcake shop that I've heard about in San Francisco that actually makes vegan cupcakes. And I am not even going to try and fight that temptation. And in case you're wondering, and you don't already know this, I'm in Australia and near the city of Brisbane, which is in southeast Queensland, roughly halfway between the famous Gold Coast to the south and the not so famous, but in my opinion, much more beautiful Sunshine Coast to the north. But enough about me. Let's come back to the topic of this episode, which is about measuring customer perceptions. Just about every organization or business these days has a customer survey of some sort. But most of them are a lousy waste of time and effort because they ask the wrong questions, they collect data that isn't actionable, and they do more damage to the customer relationship than good in a lot of cases. I filled out one today, for example, for a big hotel chain that recently hosted my workshop in Melbourne, and it took me about 15 minutes to fill it out, and they asked so many questions, I lost count and I lost focus, and in all honesty, I couldn't even remember the level of detail of my stay that they were asking me about, like how attractive and welcoming were the guest floor corridors. I'll bet they don't use all that data, and I'll bet most of their customers don't even fill out the entire survey. So what can we do instead? Well, let's take a look at this episode's feature article, which is 5 steps to simple and actionable customer surveys. By the way, you can get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in the episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. Now, most of us know we need feedback from customers in order to make service delivery and product design more in line with customer needs and expectations. But too often, our customer surveys fail to get truly focused and actionable data. So here is a simple approach that gives you punchy customer feedback without overloading the customer with 1,001 questions. Step 1 is know who your customers are. Now, this means gathering all the relevant information you have to describe the relationship of each customer to your business or your organisation, such as how much business they give you, or where they're located, or what industry they're in, what their reasons are for using your services, things like that. The idea is to use this information to define market segments or customer segments that group similar customers together and help you organize your list of customers for selection into your survey sample. For example, one of my clients was a general freight business whose customers were everyday people, they used to call them the mums and the dads, who wanted to freight anything from furniture to clotheslines. And they wanted to freight it from the coast to the outback, all over the place. Step two is find out your customers' needs. It's your customers who define what quality service means and not you. And therefore, you need to know your customers' definitions of quality service before you decide what you should be measuring in your customer survey. This means conducting a bit of qualitative research, like using focus groups, to ask your customers how they define their needs. Prioritize their top 8 to 12 of these customer-defined service attributes as the starting point to creating your customer survey. My freight business clients' customers cared about the care and handling of their freight, about getting quick access to their deliveries, and about the accuracy of the invoices sent to them. Step three is measure your customer service performance. Create a quantitative survey based around the 8 to 12 customer-defined service attributes from step two, so you can measure satisfaction levels with each of them, along with their relative importance too. Don't forget to include a question on the overall level of satisfaction customers have with your services. Do not assume you can calculate this by averaging the satisfaction of each of the service attributes. Traditionally, the freight business managers designed the questions in their customer survey. They added anything that seemed interesting to know. Surveys are impositions at the best of times, so we need to keep them short and sweet. Useful, not just interesting. So the new survey only asked questions about what customers said was relevant to them. Step four is focus on the customer's priorities. Examining the average satisfaction ratings and average importance ratings for each of the service attributes will help you identify the priorities you need to act on. Don't try and fix everything. I mean, aren't you already complaining about how much you have to get through already? Just focus on the service attributes that have the highest importance but the lowest satisfaction. Now, while the freight business managers believed that running on time to their schedules was the highest priority, their customers didn't agree. Their customers were most frustrated when they were asked to pay on invoices that were confusing and incorrect. Step five is fix your processes. Which of your business processes impacts most on the priority service attributes that need improvement? You'll only get improvement if you fix those processes, or at the very least improve them. You may even find it useful now to establish some internal measures, that is, measures not based on customer data, so that you can track the process's impacts on the priority service attributes. Clearly, for the freight business, their invoicing process was the problem, producing inaccurate invoices as it was. They set up a new internal measure for percentage of invoices unpaid due to errors and went about tackling the problems in the invoicing process that caused the inaccuracies. Simple but focused on priorities and clear action. That's what all good customer surveys should be. And here's your challenge to take action on these ideas. Do you have a customer survey now? How well does it reflect customer-defined priorities? How well is the data used to improve customer satisfaction? What can you do to make that customer survey simpler, more relevant, and more actionable? Now, while surveys are the most common method for measuring customer satisfaction specifically and customer perceptions in general, surveys aren't always the most convenient or cost-effective way to measure these things, and that brings us to this episode's Q&A segment. This episode's question comes from Diane, and she asks, how can you measure customer satisfaction other than with surveys in a government agency? Well, one option is to measure something that is a proxy for customer satisfaction, like percentage of customers with repeat business or percentage of customers lost. But often this data is too little too late, and it won't give you the early warning signs of degrading customer satisfaction in time to do something to avoid customers defecting. Another option is, well, not exactly a survey, but still based on asking customers some quick questions at the time of their service transaction being completed. It might be a small card with a few key questions on it, which need no more than a tick or a cross. But the best data about how customers feel about your services comes directly from them. So asking them directly is the best way to get that data. It doesn't have to be a survey in the form of a questionnaire that is emailed or posted to them. It can be in the form of a telephone call to a random sample of recent customers, asking a few key questions, and market researchers do this all the time. You could have your staff do it as part of a weekly routine to call a small sample of customers served during that week to ask how satisfied they were overall with that experience. Often customers want to avoid surveys because of the typical problems of high cost, low response rates, and annoying customers with loads of questions. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can keep costs down using random samples of customers, and you can avoid low response rates by following up or using telephone surveys, and you can avoid annoying customers by asking the bare essential questions that you need for your KPIs that you can and will and should act upon. Only collect data that is useful, not just interesting. But if you have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, simply email me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Well, let me expand a bit on how you can make your customer surveys much shorter and much more powerful and actionable. My customer survey, which I use at the Performance Measure Blueprint Workshop, actually, I keep talking about that. I should probably give you a link for those of you who are interested. You just go to performancemeasureblueprint.com and it will tell you about that workshop. But anyway, at that workshop, the survey that I use has four simple but very, very powerful questions. The first question is, overall, how do you rate the value of the workshop? And I ask them that on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is absolutely no value whatsoever and 10 is exceptionally high value, the highest. I use that data for a key performance indicator or KPI for my business called average overall customer value. And I track it through time. I have it in a line graph and I look at it workshop by workshop. So I've run dozens of these workshops, so you can imagine there's a little bit of a trend there now. And it's a nice trend. It's going up. The second question that I ask on that customer survey is, why didn't you rate any higher? Why didn't you rate any higher? And that's referring to the previous question about their overall value. It's a qualitative, open-ended question, and it really helps me understand what I most need to improve on simply by analyzing the most common responses to that question. So it's really asking people, what was something that bugged you or something you would have liked to have had but didn't that stopped you rating the value of the workshop higher? Now, the third question's a little bit similar, but it's looking in the opposite direction. Why didn't you rate any lower? Again, that's a qualitative open-ended question, and the responses to that question help me understand what people most valued about the workshop, which I make sure I keep focused on, and also use that information when I'm marketing the workshop. The fourth question is, how likely are you to recommend this workshop to your colleagues? And again, that's measured on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is not at all likely and 10 is certain. I'm definitely going to be recommending it. I use that data for another KPI called the Net Promoter Score, and it's the total number of people who rated 9 or 10 minus the total number of people rating less than 7 and dividing that by the total number of customers. And I track that through time as well, workshop by workshop. If you just Google Net Promoter Score, you'll get all the information you need about that KPI. After several years using this particular customer survey, I've had a response rate well over 95%. So virtually everyone fills it out. And I've never felt the need to change any of those questions or even add new questions. The workshop continues to rate very highly, and the ratings are starting to improve even further, averaging above 8.5 on average for the overall value and above 9 for the average likelihood to recommend. So the improvement, I think, is almost certainly due to some simple changes that I made in the flow of the workshop in response to one of the most common reasons why people didn't rate the workshop any higher. And that is that they were somewhat concerned about implementation. So I increased the amount of time we spent on activities during the workshop so I can spend more time coaching people and answering implementation questions. And it seems to have had the right effect. And that's the effect you want your customer satisfaction measures to have, to focus you on continually improving your services so that satisfaction increases. We measure so we can more quickly and easily make things better. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode, and I want to thank you again for joining me. You can download these podcasts and also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. And you can also subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.